Jesus said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." But he also said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And as John records it, the purpose of his gospel, and I think he's reflecting the purpose of the gospel and of the scriptures, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Have you ever wondered why we read the Apostles' Creed in church? Why we make the United Confession of Faith in such a way? Maybe you have been familiar with something similar to this in other churches that you've been in, that you've come from. It's been done in a similar way, perhaps. I would be very interested to know how many of you, through your lives of experiencing something like that, have ever wondered why. And if you have wondered why, if you have pursued it, if you have found an answer. Another question: when you go out and you mix with people each day, including today, have you sometimes been in a place where they have asked you to think about such and such, some aspect of life? Maybe they've asked it with the words. Maybe they've asked it by the position they've put you in, the situation you have to deal with. And you know that there should be something in the Bible to give you an answer, either to what they ask you or to how to live and how to deal with a situation. But you can't quite think of what that is. Well, the creed is used and has been used through centuries to express all the main things that a Christian needs to believe. The creed is short, and life is complicated. And it might say, well, I don't have all the answers there. But if you first of all stop and think of why you are using it and what those things say that it contains, if you've stopped first of all to think about all that that means, then you do have a short statement that you can remember, that can be extremely helpful to get you started in the difficulties of life and the difficult questions of life, that you know the basics of what you do believe. And as I say, it's not just when somebody raises a challenge and tries to enter into a debate or a discussion. It's that life itself sets its challenges, and how are you going to behave in the face of those challenges? They set the question before you every time and every moment of the day. How seriously or truly do you believe in God? Father, Son, and Spirit, as the creed outlines. How closely does your life demonstrate the faith that you profess this morning in this fellowship? There's a fly on the wall today, looking at you, seeing you, taking part in the profession of that faith. And what is that fly going to say when he lands on your shoulder on Thursday and says, "I saw you there on Sunday. You professed faith in God, Father, Son, and Spirit. But what you are just doing doesn't look like you believe." Let's think about what the creed says, what the faith is that we express, what the faith is that we should believe, and what its implications are. I want you to consider with me today and over some weeks, God willing, what it is that we profess, but not just to consider intellectually, but to consider deeply and to make it yours. And first of all, the very matter of believing at all, how crucial this is, that repeated, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Just that idea, what does it mean to believe, and how important is it? This is where we begin this morning. And there are three things I want to put before you. And the first is that everyone says, and sometimes by actions as much as words, but everyone says, I believe. But there is a big difference with this, I believe. And then also the question, when you have said, I believe. Let me explain. First of all, everyone says, I believe. Belief is the foundation for all of life. Not one single human being has ever been able to live without a significant element of belief in their lives. For all of our thoughts and our actions. Now, we could go into a long philosophical discussion, and there are better qualified people who do that. We're not going to. It wouldn't fulfill a suitable purpose. But a basic analysis, a very basic analysis of how every person goes about their lives should tell us just that. As a man gets up in the morning and he does what he needs to do and he commutes into the city, he has believed that his clock is telling the right time. And he has believed that the train will stay on the tracks. And in fact, the same tracks that it took yesterday to get him where he wants to be. Just as it did yesterday. And at the other end, he walks on the concrete pavement, believing that it won't collapse under him. Now, I'm taking some very simple examples, but it is, I think, evidence that belief is crucial. It underpins everything that we do. And say and think. Because that man, in believing those things, has probably, in the majority of cases, not given a single thought to God in all his believing. For man, to believe does not, in the first place, mean that he believes in God, that belief is fundamental, foundational to life itself. Because I say this, because there are many who will suggest, and they will argue terribly, that they don't need faith or belief to get through life. They will put it, I don't believe in God in any way, and that would cover, I suppose, all of the different religions that might have some kind of God in them. And he will say, I don't believe in God. He considers this the opt-out clause, and that he is escaping from belief. And he just bases his life on facts. But that's no different whatsoever from saying it a different way, different word order, meaning the same thing. I don't believe in God means I believe there is not a God. I believe is still at the heart of it all, a matter of belief. Man cannot avoid believing at a certain level of his life. That level is what is underneath. And just like a foundation of this building, you don't see it, but it's what it all rests on. And so many people don't see it. Don't you let them fool you into thinking that they don't rest their lives on belief. They will argue. But it's not so. But it's not merely logic and philosophy that we depend on here. The Bible. The Bible assumes belief in every man. The way that God puts it is to say, you need to believe on me instead of taking up your life with all that other stuff, filling your life, trusting in all that other stuff. Let me give you a few examples. From Psalm 40, verse 4, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud. A different word, doesn't respect the proud, but it's a complete setting of opposites. Trust in the Lord, not the proud, giving him respect. Isaiah mentions it several times, and I'm not giving all of them. He says, "As and such as have escaped of the house of Jacob will never again depend on him who defeated them, but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth." It's essentially the same concept of dependence, depending on the Lord, believing in him, trusting in him, putting your faith in him. That's Isaiah 10:20. Isaiah 31:1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Men are trusting in animals and the things they have made, and not the Lord. Isaiah 57:13. When you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you, but the wind will carry them all away. A breath will take them. But he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land. He's setting the contrast. There is the but in there. You might say, well, that doesn't say anything about believing. When you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. You're trusting in them. Don't do that. Rather, but he who puts his trust in me, the Lord. It's set there in contrast. And Ezekiel 33:13, when I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered. There are all sorts of things that men trust in. But the Bible pleads with man to trust instead in the Lord. That's just as far as I can go in the time we have this morning. But to set that up before you briefly, to remember that belief is at the heart of man's life, wherever he thinks he stands. But there is a big difference with this "I believe" that we profess in the Christian faith. The big difference. When we recognize, if we recognize, I hope we do recognize, that belief is so foundational to life. It's the foundation for the building that is our lives. If that's the case, it shouldn't be so strange to us that belief in God might be expected to make a difference. Now, don't get me wrong, because here when I say belief in God, I don't mean the way it's commonly used outside of the Christian church. There are so many. The surveys will tell you that 70-odd% of the people in Britain today do believe in God. You might well ask, well, where are they? What difference does it make in the lives that we live? They say they believe in God. But a statement like that, that is so often accompanied by a life of outright unbelief. I think I've spoken before of the one who doesn't call himself an atheist but is a practical atheist. He says, there's no room for God in my life except when I'm in desperate straits and I need some powerful help. There was a man who met Jesus. He had a son who was demon-possessed. And this man acknowledged that he did have such a powerful element in his life still of unbelief. He said to the Lord, help my unbelief. Yet he had the beginnings of faith. He was also able to say, I do believe. You can do something. And I have no other option. I give him to you, my son. Heal him. He had the beginnings of faith which were sufficient for Jesus to work with. Rather, we're talking about the one who doesn't believe. He says he does, but he never truly seeks the Lord for his healing or his help or his thanks or his praise. There are times when he might use words that ask for help in trouble, but still only with self-interest in mind. He does not believe. That is not the belief or the trust in God that is spoken of in Scripture. The only belief in God that's truly worthy of the name is what takes God at His word. You said it, Lord, it must be so. It's the faith that takes that man, woman, or child and that he throws himself on the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. That's the key to God's whole word. Hebrews tells us that Christ is the greatest revelation of God, building on the prophets. Do you take God at His word? Do you believe in God? Do you cast yourself on Him? There's an enduring picture I have from the film The Great Escape. There was one prisoner of war who left his bunk that morning, top of three bunks. He had a job to do. Later on, he returned. He climbed up and he threw himself down on his bunk, looking forward to a good night's sleep, like last night. But during the day, his mates had removed half of the wood from underneath the mattress. And as he threw himself, he cast himself on his bed, he went straight through the lot of them. But that's the kind of casting that is required from the believer, the true believer. It's to say, I throw all my weight, Lord, on You. You said You can hold it. You said You can deal with it. Is that the way you believe in God? Casting, throwing yourself on Christ and His mercy. That's the difference. Was this, I believe. Not putting your trust in anything else. Our Christian profession of faith makes these number of statements of fact. But to say, I believe in them, in these truths, is to steer your life by them. Consider some of them, just a couple. You believe that Jesus rose again from the grave. Then you must believe also that He reigns in heaven. Where else is He? He is Lord. Does your life show that to be your belief? Or do you not let Him rule your life in every aspect? Because that shows that you do not, in fact, believe. And what about believing in the communion of saints? How seriously do you take this? Seeking out every opportunity to develop and make that communion grow, and that through them you might also have communion with your Lord. These are just some examples. Consider each one. But there is one point that I must emphasize above all others, because it is the outcome of the various points of this confession. Such things as I believe the forgiveness of sins, I believe the resurrection of the body, I believe the life everlasting. Where do all of these come in together? They all contribute to setting Jesus before us as our one single hope of salvation to eternal life. That's the difference with this faith, this belief, that Jesus is to be the object of this faith. And there is no other faith like it. That's the difference between this belief and any other. That my only hope of salvation is through faith in Christ, through faith in the mercy and the grace of God alone. No other belief can match that. Every other one finally resorts to man and his own capabilities. But this one submits utterly, completely, cast upon God's word, as it is written, and as it became flesh, God self-revealed in his Son, Jesus. That's the big difference. And is that what you believe? Everyone says, I believe. There is a big difference with this, I believe. But I also need to ask, what happens when you have said, I believe? And I have referred to this already. The happening, the doing, cannot be separated from the saying, the professing, I believe. It cannot be just mind and words. You have to ask the impact of this profession. In so many parts of life these days, I was made very much aware of it yesterday in a meeting to do with the school. There are words and words and words that are used to baffle others and to give a sense of superiority. But what effect do they have? Where do they apply? Where do they touch people's lives? Where do these words touch your life? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Where does that touch your heart and make a difference in your life? What impact does this profession have on you? You can easily say it. You can hear me say it. One of these days we'll say it together. But, and a big question mark, for each one of us, we read what Jesus said, for every idle word men may speak, words that are spoken without a connection to life and meaning, for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Will you give account for the times that you have said, I believe? What account will you give? What difference does this confession of faith make in your life, or are they idle words? Is it a true confession of your faith? Your faith that culminates in the great outcome, salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. When it is all said, is it also done, acted on, lived out? Is it that faith that depends entirely on the grace of God in Christ Jesus? And there I close. And I pray that God will spare us that we might look more closely at the other parts of this confession in weeks to come. And may God bless his word to us each one this morning. Let us pray together.